2000. No sería correcto empezar sin abordar primero el proceso, de modo que queremos comunicar claramente cuál es el proceso, el desarrollo y cuál ha sido nuestro plan operativo. Y vamos a empezar con el plan operativo, de modo que los primeros 6 meses del año hemos proporcionado una revisión de este plan estratégico de febrero de este año, que incluye un plan estratégico que se había simplificado, seguramente lo conocerán, con algunas áreas centrales. Hemos hecho un seguimiento cronológico y también conceptual de nuestros conceptos de planes. Y luego tenemos el plan que se planteó después de la reunión de Nairobi con el presupuesto del año. Y también empezamos un proceso de reuniones y también de foros abiertos después de la reunión de Nairobi para disponer de un marco. Y también con pues una serie de disposiciones que no únicamente proporcionan una serie de respuestas, como ya hemos dicho, sino que también nos animan a sintetizar este feedback para el plan operativo de este año y también hacer un esfuerzo especial para responder a este feedback. Y en este sentido, pues hay un apéndice en el documento que identifica específicamente pues estas cuestiones. Bien, después de esta síntesis, pues tenemos el presupuesto del 2011 con una serie de disposiciones incluidas en el reglamento interno y bueno, lo planteamos para respuestas, para que nos dieran respuestas y opiniones con una serie de comentarios en el foro y también
breakout meetings here today, this week, which I'll share some of the comments from that as well. The next step is we had the Board Finance Committee meeting, and we're fortunate to have Ramaraj and George here from the Finance Committee. I don't see Gonzalo, but also met with the Finance Committee earlier this week, and they've recommended that the Board adopt it. So we'll be submitting the final budget at the Board meeting tomorrow for adoption. Just a few comments on the community feedback. Anecdotally, the quality and the quantity has steadily increased, and this year was no exception. It was a great pleasure to read and hear some of the comments. Some of them are tough to hear and hard to synthesize, but just the quality of the comments in the community. So I feel like we've made significant progress on that. For those who like numbers, there was about 20 conferences, calls, and meetings up through the Brussels meeting here, and there's been about 8 or 10 meetings during the Brussels meeting as well. We had about 70 pages of online comments. And we had 2 board briefings as well, webinars on the budget. This year we also had a first time in at least in my 3 years at ICANN, we had a GNSO resolution for a specific request for who is fact-based studies to help the policy development process, which was received. The 19-page analysis that's posted online and then the appendix C as well. Highlight some of the comments, but roughly there's requests for more information. In broad terms, I'd describe it this way. There's requests for more information. There's some need for more resources in certain areas. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. There's some suggestions for revenue management, revenue forecasting, which we've addressed. There's always operational suggestions on how to improve the way ICANN runs. And then, of course, there's strong suggestions for cost reductions as well. Our responses to the community feedback, I'd summarize as this, that the request for more information, we have a growing, fairly thick document. I think it's 83 pages of charts and tables and executive summary. We tried to make it organized so for the A-level reader that can read it. And the B level and the C level readers can read it as well to gather as much information as they need. We also, to highlight the EAG, the expense area group, which identifies ICANN spending in the view of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. We provided more and more details on that, which was specifically requested. As I mentioned, the GNSO and others asked for the fact-based studies to support and promote the policy development process, and we provided more resources in that area. At-large support and other policy development support, we increased more incremental staff in that area. And then as far as fees and cost reductions and adjustments and increases, there's a number of suggestions in that area, and we're going to essentially put those in consideration for future, and there's more discussions about how to adjust those. Another development this year is the revenue be as accurate as possible. ICANN's has become better and better at revenue forecasting, and this year is no exception to that. We're expecting to come quite close to our revenue budget. And this year we queried each of the sources, each registry, each registrar group, the RARs, CC community, as well as even the meeting sponsorship group and our investment bank. We also asked them what they thought a good conservative estimate would be for the revenue assumptions that went into the budget. In summary, these are all the comments were summarized and in accordance with the Finance Committee direction and oversight, we provided responses to each of those. Based on community feedback we've received this week, I think we made significant progress in that and identifying that. I think we can do better based on some of the specific questions. People would like to know exactly how their specific comment was really incorporated or specifically why it wasn't incorporated. Just briefly to summarize some of the comments that I've heard this week in some of the breakout sessions, I think contractual compliance, concern with contractual compliance, I think what our thinking is that although there's a 7% overall growth in the contractual compliance area, I think there's the thought is that under the current RAA agreements and the registry agreements that we have sufficient resources. We've made really significant progress over the last couple of years. Off the top of my head, I think 30 registrars have been terminated for contractual compliance issues. So we have a fairly robust, we can always, you know, always have many more auditors, many more folks and resources to improve upon that. But we believe that with the current structure, that we have adequate resources to continue to make significant progress on that. That being said, we realize that with the vertical integration discussions and the new RAA discussions and the new GTLD registry agreements, there could possibly be a need to rethink and reconsider some of the contractual compliance support for that, and we plan to do that. But for the FY11 budget, just to clarify, we do believe that there's adequate resources and there's significant growth in that area. The point on that. Just a brief primer for those who might not be familiar with the ICANN budgeting and revenue and operating expense budget over the past few years. Over the past few years, there's been very significant growth in the revenue side of ICANN's budget. And as pointed out on the slide there, 45% over the last 4 years. A lot of that has been based on the contractual agreements that we have with the registries, and particularly the .com agreement, which had a very fixed step up. I think it's at $18 million in the fiscal year 10 year. And it, once again, it's going to be, or again, it's going to stay the same in the next year. So what does that mean? It means that the rapid growth in revenue that we had over the last few years is essentially stopped. We are expecting some domain name growth. So we've estimated about 3% growth in the revenue. So that's the revenue side. Over on the operating expense side, as you know, there's been more and more activities, more and more demands on ICANN's role in internet governance, and so consequently, those operating expenses has increased over time. I think our staffing is up to 125, and our budget is close to $59 million. So the expenses has approached the revenue side of the equation. Over the last few years, there has been a contribution to the reserve fund, a total of $44 million, and it's also allowed an opportunity for the transaction fees to for registrars per transaction to be discounted from 25 cents down to 18 cents, stepping down over a period of time. So what does that mean, and what's that? I'll put that all together. The equation says that it's really important that ICANN, just like any organizations in the world today, really needs to prioritize our operating activities, become very good at forecasting, get better and better at estimating our costs and communicating those, play that zero-sum game. So the prioritization of activities is more important than ever. Let's emphasize that. This slide here, slide six, summarizes the budget overall. And you can see there the FY11 budget on the revenue side is $65 million. The operating expenses with contingency of $1.5 million is totaling operating expenses are $59 million. So the $1.5 million contingency brings it up to $60.8 million non-cash expense. So the contribution to reserve from operations is estimated at $2.1 million, and the fiscally responsible finance committee with the oversight of the finance committee and the board has made it very clear that we still need to be fiscally responsible, even though there's these budget pressures to perform all these activities, that we still need to plan for a contribution to the reserve fund in accordance with the strategic plan. So we've built into that an opportunity to do that. That being said, we did feel that there was a need, based on community feedback and the strategic direction of ICANN, to increase some resources in some areas of ICANN's operations. So you can see there, these are the 15 organizational activities of ICANN. We often call this the functional reporting view of ICANN. And the areas of growth that we've identified are internal security, stability, and resiliency efforts, business continuity and coordination efforts. Just as a point of clarity, this question also came up in the earlier meetings and even a couple of the meetings here today. The DNS cert operations is not in the budget, was not in the budget in the framework. I think there was some confusion from some community members on that, so I just want to make that really clear. That is not the budget of the op. There's not a budget assumption of DNS cert. Obviously, there's staff effort in exploring that with the community, but not a budget assumption associated with that. And in addition to that, there's been some growth in policy, and then some growth in significant growth percentage-wise, anyway, on the DNSSEC, more staffing and support on the DNSSEC efforts. We mentioned before it's a zero-sum game, so what gave? Well, there was a general overall scrubbing of the budget. Another set of questions concerned the FY10, our current year fiscal operating expenses. So this year we're planning, we're expecting that our operating expenses will exceed the budget by a couple million dollars on the operating expense line item. Overall, ICANN is still financially healthy. We're still expecting to contribute to the reserve fund this year, but there has been more operating expenses for unplanned activities and activities that are greater. So what that required us to do is really take a close look at all our activities, all the travel support. We delayed some hiring, scrubbed all the numbers throughout. We've also identified some larger areas of reduction, in particular the new GTLD line item year over year. And I wanted to make sure I'm clear on this too. This came up in several of the discussions this week, that We did not, this doesn't mean that the GTLD program is going to be delayed or we're going to, from a budget standpoint, that's not the meaning of that. All that really means is much of the work for GTLD is complete. A lot of the heavy lifting and heavy spending on studies and efforts related to that has been complete. There's still significant, I think it's $8 million for FY11 between IDN and new GTLD efforts. So there's still significant funding for that in this fiscal year operating budget. In addition to that, we'll talk about it in a second, there's a separate new GTLD budget, which is not part of this, but it's an important concept to understand. And so there's been some activities that have been moved into that separate budget to accommodate and make sure that we're fiscally responsible for this fiscal year budget. Another area of discussion has been the planning process itself. And so, as you can see from the slide, there's a current process which has a strategic plan update. The three-year strategic plan is updated every year in the first 6 months of the year. And then there's an operating plan and budget development in the second 6 months of the year. So we're essentially starting the strategic plan development now, and then next January we'd normally start the operating plan and budget efforts following the strategic plan. There's some discussions about maybe we could, with the strategic plan being fairly stable, an opportunity to update that, but an opportunity to shorten that period to several months, for example. And this would allow more time to adjust what seems to be more concern to the community and ICANN board and staff, is to make sure that we're adjusting our priorities straight. Budget exercise is really an operating plan exercise is really a prioritization effort. And so the idea there is we'd have more time, maybe 8 or 9 months out of the year, where we'd be working on budget and resource allocation on a broad basis. This alternative process also considers that there'd be more and earlier supporting organizations and advisory committee involvement in the budget process earlier in the year. And this will take some time, and the community needs to consider this change in the process. But we wanted to let you know that that question's been put out there. We are committed this year to engage the SOs and AC chairs and their community members earlier in the process here. So September, October, we'll initiate those discussions rather than waiting for the online forum and the framework as we've done in the past year in the March timeframe. So accelerating that process to make sure that we land the prioritization as well as we can. Final slide here is the new GTLD budget. This has been posted for community comment. Excuse me just a second. Thank you. I wanted to highlight just a couple of points on this. Number one is that the new GTLD budget really has three components to it. The first component is the development aspects of it. So that's the implementation of the GNSO policy for the new GTLD. And this has taken some time. It also takes actually several years of effort. So that those costs have been in each year's operating plan and budget, including this year. And I mentioned earlier an $8 million number for that. The second and third aspects of the new GTLD budget would be handled in a separate budget, not part of this budget that we're submitting to the board tomorrow, but is still an important part of the new GTLD budget. The second one that I mentioned is the deployment, and those are the costs associated with getting ICANN's operations and application processing ready. So these are the software and the real estate and some of the hiring that's required that have long lead times, that have more complexity to it. And so we feel like it's important to go back to the community and request this and get this so that we don't have further delays in the new GTLD program if and when the program is approved, ready for launch. The third area is the application processing. So these are the costs, the revenue associated with the new GTLD applications, but it's also the revenue, it's the costs associated with processing applications. So the panelist costs, very significant dollar amount from a operating expense, but also associated with the revenue that brings in that. Put that all together, that's the revenue cost neutral cost recovery mechanism of each round of the new GTLD program. So I wanted to just emphasize that that's out for community comment. I think the public forum today has some time set aside for that. We're looking forward to making progress on that so that if and when we're ready for those, then we can move forward on that. So I think that closes my prepared remarks on that, and open for questions either online or for those of you here, and happy to take that on. Any questions, comments? Thank you. Marilyn?
Kevin, thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade, and I am the chair of the business constituency. I think there will be, if not other people from the constituency speaking, I'll highlight just a couple of overall concerns. Before I do that, though, I'd like to make a comment that's related to perhaps how you may think about organizing outreach in your efforts to deepen the participation of the community, particularly in the GNSO. The GNSO has been restructured into 4 stakeholder groups, and there is no chair of the GNSO. There's a chair of the council. But each of the stakeholder groups has a leadership group itself. And I think maybe as you look at the new three-part process, then it might be helpful to think about approaching the leadership of those groups, not only the chair of the council. So that would be one.
Thank you. Point well taken.
And we're just getting used to the new structure ourselves. I like the reorganization because I think it's going to help us with a problem that I'm going to give you. I would like to see some changes in this budget before the board votes on it. Now, I think there may be other people in this room who have the same feeling. I'd like to know whether it's at all possible to accommodate a change by the time the board votes on it.
Well, let's hear the comment.
Okay. You've spoken about the effort to reduce expenses by not bringing as many staff to the face-to-face meetings, and about delaying hirings. And while those are appropriate management responses to budget gaps, they may not be in the interest of the community. We have staff who are very, very stretched when they are at these meetings, and it is the only time for the vast majority of the stakeholders. I understand the staff meet with the registries and the registrars, but they do not have an opportunity to interact with the broad community, with those who are building this organization and stabilizing it and taking it forward, except at these face-to-face meetings. And I really think it has to be a priority to understand that for staff to be effective and for the community to be effective, we must have these opportunities. I don't support changing the number of meetings from 3 to 2. And I think the reason I mention it here is it is related to the comment I just made. For us to get our work done, we must know each other. We must interact with each other. And it is the only time the community gets to interact with the board as well.
Okay.
So, one more.
Okay.
Delaying hiring of staff is not a good answer to the community's need for informed, capable, aware staff who can hit the ground running. Because the longer you delay hiring staff, the greater the stress on the existing staff, the greater the workload on the existing staff. And then you have a build-up time when the new staff need to learn their jobs. So in the area of compliance and enforcement in particular, I'm not satisfied with the amount of money, and I'm not satisfied with the percentage of growth. We are throwing money at SSR. which happens to be a topic I am strongly interested in. I'd like to see us throw some money between now and Friday when the board votes on the budget and increase the amount of money that is going into enforcement and to compliance.
Okay, good. Thank you. Let me try to address those. Meter one and the three sound like they're very related, so let me address that, which is about staffing. So I mentioned that we're forecasting in FY10 an operating expense line item that's greater than our budget. And we realized that at mid-year. We had a mid-year review. We met with the finance committee. We communicated that pretty extensively with the community and the board on what the situation is. So we went through this FY10 cost containment project where we brought all the executives together and came up with a long list of items to consider, including those you mentioned and many, many more. I think there were 70 or 80 on our project list to hit. One of the key directions that the Finance Committee and others provided to us is let's not cut any essential activities of ICANN. It's it'd be penny wise and pound foolish to try to just make the budget and not make significant progress on the work of ICANN. So that was a key point, and that's the reason why, although we were able to cut some costs, there's still some increases. So we're still expecting a million or two, million and a half about over our operating expense line item. So to address the issue of cutting staff or delaying staff, I think each one has carefully been managed, and there has been no intention to delay or cut an open position at the cost of creating fulfilling an essential activity. Obviously, we always like to have more resources and spend more money on many things, but we felt from a financial, fiscally responsible position, we needed to land that correctly. We're happy to get specific suggestions on that. As far as the point about three meetings to two, the budget assumption in this budget is that there's three ICANN international meetings along with other support meetings through, intersessional meetings, obviously, board meetings, board conference calls, and all the conference calls. So there's still an assumption on that. I know that's open for discussion, and the budget assumption will follow what the discussion is on that. So appreciate your comment on that. Obviously, there's a forum for that. As far as the contractual compliance, I think I just sort of echo what I said earlier, which was very, very conscious effort to make sure that we are making significant progress in contractual compliance. I'm sure that every budget owner, every department manager would love to get more resources. I heard several people mention the Atomic Energy Commission model of, you have 100 staff in contractual compliance and 1,000 that are doing actual auditing. I think that's the ICANN model, but the intention is doing that. We're happy to take and listen to specific requests for that. But I think the assumption now is that the contractual compliance efforts of ICANN are working fairly well with the existing structures, as I mentioned before, with the vertical integration issues, with the new RAA being discussed and considered, and obviously with the new GTLD registry agreements. We have to rethink that to make sure that the contractual compliance support function will address those. That's a very important role for ICANN.
So I have one final comment, and this is made in my individual capacity. It was in Ghana at one of our meetings when I went to the microphone, as does others from business, and said, we fund ICANN. We are the registrants. And lowering our fee to 17 or 18 cents might not be the wisest strategy. At that point, I think it was 8 cents or 4 cents. We called for a 25-cent fee. And I at every meeting, ICANN reports with great focus how much they're lowering the transactional fee. But if we are lowering the transactional fee, which is, after all, paid by registrants, I wonder if we maybe need to reevaluate that in order to make sure that we are stepping up to the challenges that we face.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah, the For those of you who don't know, the registrar transaction fee based on domain names is 25 cents. It's been slowly reducing over the last few years. It's now at 18 cents. The budget assumption is that it remains at 18 cents per domain name transaction year. And your point is well taken and heavily discussed on future revenue models and what the right fees would be given the changes at an ICANN new GTLD program and other changes. So point well taken. Thank you. Is there a question from online on the remote participation? Not yet. Okay, good. You want to go ahead?
Thank you, Kevin. Steve Metallix from the Coalition for Online Accountability and the Intellectual Property Constituency. I want to thank you for coming to our Commercial Stakeholders Group meeting. It was probably not the highlight of your week, but I think it was a good opportunity for a good exchange of views on some of these issues. I'm not going to repeat what I said there or what was discussed there. One issue was contract compliance, and I appreciate hearing your opinion that everything's fine in the contract compliance world. I think it's, your view is distinctly a minority view in this organization, and if you were in this room at between 5:30 and 7 on Monday, or if you were up on the third floor yesterday in the meeting on Who Is Accuracy, I think you would find that your view is distinctly in the minority. And I'm not sure why your view should determine what is spent on contract compliance anyway, but I think you detect a lot of frustration about ICANN's failure to step up fully to this issue.
So,
second, on the question of constituency support, or what is labeled constituency support in the budget, which actually is support for contracted party stakeholder groups, there will be a joint statement on this in the public forum from the commercial stakeholder group and the non-commercial stakeholder group. So I noted that when we made this comment in April, your appendix on this in the budget document says, point noted and passed on to executive team and board. I'm just not quite sure where that leaves us. So I guess I would appreciate your thoughts on who we should go to pursue this point further. The third issue that was raised in our commercial stakeholder group had to do with whether there was adequate explanation for the largest increases in the budget, which were in the SSR and DNS operations area. That was discussed earlier this morning, and I hope that we will have the opportunity to get some more detail about that. But the final point I'd like to make really builds on what Marilyn says. I mean, it's a cliche that a budget document is a policy document, and it's really the place where policies and priorities are set. I think that is true. Our strategic plan document was so nebulous this year that I didn't feel anybody could really meaningfully comment on it. So it all came down to the operational plan. And when we see that virtually none of the points that we raised in commenting, I'm talking about the intellectual property constituency now, we raised a lot of points we're trying to participate in this process, and we raised these points in April. There's very little change in the document and very little response we felt in the May 17th document. And then we get to this meeting, and realistically, I don't think anybody really thinks the budget is going to be substantially changed based on all of the meetings that are taking place here. I will be shocked if there is a substantial increase in contract compliance or if there is an earmarking of some funds for support of constituencies other than those of the contracted parties. Maybe I'll be totally wrong about that, but realistically, there's not going to be any change. So just from an accountability and transparency standpoint, this system seems broken to me. There doesn't seem to be any good way for the community to express its views about priorities, what's important, what's most important for ICANN to do, what ICANN needs to do to as a proof of concept of the ICANN experiment. I just think this goes into a black hole in the budget process, and I think we need a better way of setting these priorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I do appreciate that. I really do. You talk about it's my personal opinion, but I think the one thing I can say is that I'm a really big supporter of the accountability and transparency, and one of the great things about ICANN is that I do believe that the operating planning process has significantly improved over the last X number of years. In terms of, just personally, in terms of the number of pages read and synthesized and discussed with staff and community members on the specific comments, and the number of meetings that I attend and hear these comments and have those dialogues, I personally believe that that's made significant improvement in process. The number of pages in there, the feedback. I really did hear you in the meeting the other day that some of those comments, although you can pat myself on the back or pat ourselves on the back that we actually have an Appendix C now that actually says that, I think we also it means we need to step on the gas a little bit further and beef that up, and rather than just having a quick response saying go see Section 5, as you mentioned the other day, or send it to the board. So I do believe that it has been more and more accountable and more transparent, and I do agree that it could be more. So let me just address some of your specific questions if I could. Several of your comments, I think, have to do with more details, and we really heard this articulated in some of the meetings, that people appreciated, especially some of the areas and the level of detail, and you really could see that in those prioritizations. And could comment on specific things. There are other areas that are just harder I'm getting from the community members and others that it's harder to understand exactly what those are. And so we'll provide those more. I'm not sure what it's 83 pages now. I'm not sure it's too much detail. But I think the message is clear that we need to have more detail and prioritization. I think also this proposal, I'm a big fan of earlier involvement in the SOs and ACs, and I hear Marilyn's point about the it's not just the chair of those groups. More involvement earlier on, because I think that will spark the discussion of we need more detail on this item so that we can really identify the priorities and make sure that we're landing it right. And the point about the contractual compliance, it's not a. I don't feel like it's my opinion that the contractual compliance department is the function is properly resourced. Believe me, I hear about the challenges out there as much as anyone, and I personally would love to have much much more than that. But it's a budget balancing exercise. And I think we've made a good shot at doing that. We certainly would like to hear specific ideas on how we can do more. I guess I'm also pointing to the fact that contractual compliance really has made, from what I've heard and what I understand, has made significant progress and could make significant more. Some of the confusion I had that I tried to make clear early on today, some of the confusion I heard earlier in the week, had to do with vertical integration issues that are being discussed and that we need to have a contractual compliance program beefed up to what might happen in that area or what might happen in the RAA. And so the thought being that that the budget needs and the resources to be fiscally responsible needs to follow the policy of those kinds of things rather than plan for and be budget resourced for in anticipation that it might happen. So happy to take that more comments on that. Let's see, SSR is the same issue about more details. I'm hearing that clearly on that point, that I want to make that really clear. And this constituency support also as well. That we decided a few years ago to break up ICANN's functional activities into 15 organizational activities. We identified that. One of them we called constituency support. we might be able to come up with a better name of that. But the plan, the thought isn't that it's not just registering contracted party support. It's support, you know, you still have the meetings space for the various community member groups, and that's just a placeholder. I think we could make some improvements, as you pointed out the other day, and in describing that so that it's clear to you on exactly what those resources are. I think I answered your question as best as I can. And the system being broken, I really want to understand what your thoughts are on that. We take great pride in the operating and planning process and making it robust and making it a community process. So when your comment about the system being broken, I want to address that. And I think the executive team and the board want to make sure that happens. So that's what this alternative proposal is trying to address, to make sure that we really do account for that. Okay?
Thank you. We can pursue that last question offline, but I do want to say that I agree with you that there has been significant progress in the contractual compliance area, and we're very supportive of that. We just feel that the status, you know, continuing at the current rate is not going to really achieve what the objective. Thank
good
you.
Point one, point two. And I wrote it down. I forgot to mention too. You had mentioned one of the comments, and I put that several places about the point. The comment has been forwarded to the executive staff. Those are comments that when we read that, it wasn't just me, it was a team of us that read those comments. When we read those comments, we didn't think it was a budget or an operating plan issue. It seemed like it was more an operations issue or a board issue for example, Greg Rattray, who just spoke before me, it was more of an issue on there rather than a budget resource issue. So that's why we passed it on and noted it, and so that was the thought there. If we missed it, maybe I misunderstood a couple of them. I'd like to understand that, and we'll that Appendix C will no doubt get better over time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Oh, yes.
Okay. My name is Mary Uduma. I'm speaking in my personal capacity. I'm from Nigeria, and I want to appreciate the way you have presented the budget and the budget process. And just to say that the need to be enhancing of the clarity of the presentation. For instance, you presented the budget the year 2010, year 2011, the comparison, whether there's increase, we should increase 2010, but contribution of each expense to the total of the expenditure was not presented. It would give a greater idea or meaningful understanding of where the major expense heads are. Okay, that is one. And again, when you say budget 2010, do you mean there's an expense, there's a budget? Do you mean that is the actual expenditure? Okay, or is still the budget? There's an estimate, there's a budget. Do we mean that the budget is the actual expenditure so that it could make more meaning to anybody that is reading the presentation? That's one. Secondly, there is emphasis on outreach, awareness creation, communication at regional level. If this would be done in the year financial year 2011, it will create a lot of awareness within among the developing countries. Sorry, so there would be greater interest to participate in ICANN meetings and ICANN processes. So one would expect that greater budgeting of resources will be allocated to participation at ICANN level, especially for those of us from the developing country. So there's an increase, quite all right, but with the awareness that is going to be created, it will actually increase that. So you look at that. Then finally, I want to say that there's nothing in the budget that indicates that ICANN is working on its commitment to remain as non-profit corporate headquarters. And according to the AOC, paragraph 8B, with headquarters in USA, with offices around the whole world, to meet the needs of the global community. So that aspect of the work of ICANN, or operation of the work of ICANN, is neither in the year 2010 to 13 strategic plan, nor even the... So one would have expected to see that there's an indication that we're exploring the possibility of having international offices. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. So just, I think I heard three questions, so let me make sure I understand them or address each one. So the point about enhancing clarity in the budget numbers year over year, I think that's what you're referring to. So you weren't saying there wasn't year over year, because we made a conscious effort, and the Finance Committee worked with us on creating a year over year. So that's not the issue. I think the issue is the word budget versus what does budget mean. So it's really clear that each year they're at this meeting, the June meeting, the board adopts a budget after a long process, which I described in the first slide, and that's the budget, and that's set each year, and you know, and that's the number, and we hold ourselves to that accountable. Obviously during the year, as the reality unfolds, we have actual expenditures, and that, as many of you know, we post the actual expenditures and revenue and performance of the reserve fund on the dashboard each month. We have audited financials, so those show up in the on the website as well. We have the Form 990, so we have lots and lots of communication on our financial performance. In this year also, in the budget, we made a very conscious effort to include a budget line for FY10, a forecasted item, which is our estimate based on the data, the actual data at the time, extending that forward on our best estimate of the forecast. And then obviously the FY11 budget is compared to it. So we made a specific effort to do that. And it's the first time I've heard that question recently, so I'd like to make sure that we answer that. As far as your second question on outreach, it's a similar paradigm to what I heard on other areas of compliance and whatnot, a desire to have more and more effort on that. So we hear that, and we like to involve that. And I think next year we talk about this new process. I think it's important to get that priority straight from one who sees every expenditure. We do spend a lot of money on translation and interpretation. We do spend a lot of money on these ICANN meetings, as you could imagine. We do spend a lot of money with the Global Partnership and the Regional Liaisons and the Fellowships. And I'm probably forgetting some large bucket of areas that we do spend money on. Of course, we always want to look at it to make sure we're, A, spending the money efficiently to provide that outreach, which is a very important part of ICANN, and also that it's prioritized correctly in conjunction with all the other expenditures of ICANN. And as far as the comment on commitment to not-for-profit, I think that's very clear. It's in the affirmation. It's in the bylaws. It's in our corporate structure. So that's not changing, but I hear your point that maybe we need to put that up front and center in the communication, and I thought it was there, but we'll address that point well taken. Okay? Thank you.
I hope you got my point. I'm not saying that it should not be a non-for-profit. I'm saying that in the affirmation of commitment, there is a line that is saying that there will be international offices. So I'm saying that in the budget, there's no project or program that shows that they're exploring the possibility of opening international offices. It should have been in year 2010 to year 2013 strategic plan, as well as the financial year 2011. That's what I'm raising. It's not the non-profit or profit, no.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So your point is to emphasize more the exploration and opening up of international offices. Okay.
Yes.
Point well
yes.
taken. Thank you.
All right.
Leslie.
Hi, Kevin. Leslie Cowley from Nominate UK. Thank you for your presentation, which was excellent as always. I have a comment and a question, and they are linked for me. So the comment is about financial measures, and we discussed in the CCNSO what appears to be some quite short-term measures to reduce cost. And I made the joke that we were cutting biscuits. But certainly in terms of maybe delaying staff hires and cutting travel arrangements, the view that some of us hold is that those actually may be counterproductive and they're not very long term. And so the comment I made in the CCNSO earlier this week, and I'll just repeat now for a wider audience, is that we would encourage ICANN to look at longer term cost reduction measures. And my associated question is about the new strategic process, and it makes sense to me to follow the revised process that you outlined earlier. But a key stage in strategic planning and turning planning into budgets and operating plans is actually figuring out whether you have the resources to deliver the strategic plan. And will this new process have an iterative stage where, in effect, one has to change or maybe even drop some priorities because, in effect, they cannot be afforded? Or is the strategic plan a wish list, as I heard it referred to earlier this week?
So I'm not sure I fully understand your question. Part of it. Can you restate the exact part of that second question?
The new process, would it have a stage where we say, actually, we'd love to do all of those things, but we can't afford to?
Yeah. So that's the point being that rather than having a wish list in January and say go do that, and as I think Steve or someone mentioned, that was a fairly general document with four focus areas, a one-pager, I call it, and then quickly put together something for the community to feedback. The idea is that, this proposal, it's not my proposal, it's an idea that the community is considering, board and community. The idea is to bring that process much earlier, and so, yes, of course, it would be an iterative process where we'd get initial ideas, put that forth, and to use my favorite analogy, get the large dial adjustments on the priority of the spending on those major areas, see if we're landing generally right, and then slowly over time fine-tune it so that by the time we get to this place, we're not in the budget process, we're not discussing, major adjustments to the budget. That's already been discussed and agreed upon as much as possible. So that's definitely the plan.
Okay. My point is about also then closing the loop and going back to the strategy and saying, and this is what we're now doing.
Yes, that would be okay. That would be the communication. That's the intention. And as far as your first point, I'd like to get to it was maybe this, one of those ones, the devil's in the details again, because we really had a strong intention of not being penny wise and pound foolish as much as we could, and so we didn't just say let's delay all staff hiring, let's cut all staff to come to the budget. We looked at each position, and each decision on spending, and contracting and hiring, et cetera, and looked at that on the overall process. So we really wanted to do that. If we didn't land it right, and you have some specific suggestions, then we of course want to hear that.
It feels short term, which is why I'm focusing on strat plan.
Got it. Yeah, appreciate that. Understood. Okay. Yes, Bruce, thank you.
Just to respond in a little bit more detail to Leslie's comments. And I think one of the things we're conscious of is that the planning, particularly...
Could you say your name?
Oh, sorry, my name is Bruce Tonkin, and I'm on the ICANN board, amongst other things. One of the things is to start that budget dialogue in a bit more depth with each of the, let's call it, functional areas. So if we're talking, say, in the areas of interest to the CCTLDs, that there is that we start the cycle earlier and we're getting into a little bit more depth at the budget level, and at that level it's much easier to start looking at trade-offs, because if you take at a group level or the high-level strategy level, that's presented at a fairly high level and you can't really see any of the trade-offs at that level. So to allow you to do trade-offs, we've got to say, okay, we're going to sit down with the CCTLDs maybe 4 months or even 6 months earlier and say, here are some of the things that you'd like to achieve. This is how much some of those things will cost. And then you might say, well, actually, if that activity is going to cost that much, then maybe we shouldn't do it. Or that one you've said you're going to put in 100,000. We don't think that's enough. Now, when we come to the conversation of what's enough, that actually means we need some measures. And so one of the things I'm keen on seeing is, as we mature, and this is a maturing process, is that when we start looking at some of these higher-level objectives, particularly in the strategy plan, but also in the operating plan, we try and establish a measure for whether we've been successful or not. So if you were talking about, say, internationalisation, you know, you might sort of say, is my measure of success that I have an office in every country and there's 10 people per office? Well, you multiply that out and that's obviously a massive budget. Or your measure of success might be, okay, I've got 4 regional offices in each of the major cities, that's my measure of success, and this is how much that's going to cost. So we've got to convert from the high-level objective into how we're going to measure it, and then you can look at the budget against that measure and then make trade-offs.
Great. Thank you, Brian.
Is that back on? Yeah, at risk of this turning into duet, I think that would be welcomed, Bruce. And for me, there's also not just financial resources to take into account, but staff resources and community capacity as well. Right. So that dialogue would be very beneficial. Thank you.
And that's kind of an exercise that's happening in the GNSO at the moment, in that the GNSO Council is now trying to have a much more structured prioritisation process. And that process absolutely is volunteer resources as well as ICANN resources.
Yeah. Thank you very much, both of you. Ramaraj?
Yeah. My name is Ramaraj. I chair the Finance Committee. And I wanted to answer one question that Leslie's asked a couple of times this week. What is the long-term way in which we are containing costs or planning to contain costs? And one way we are looking at it, Leslie, is that the strategic plan looks at a 3-year view and the operating plan looks at a 1-year view. So it starts looking like everything is short-term when it comes to expense planning. So the view at the Finance Committee is, how do we make the operating plan also have a 3-year view and align it to the strategic plan? So that's what we're going to do. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Ramaraj. Good. We just have a minute or two left, so if there are any final questions. And Carol, is there anyone online? No? That has a question, I should say? People online? Great. Welcome, everybody online. I want to reach out to those in remote participation. And going once, twice? Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate you attending the budget, and we'll appreciate this, and we'll submit this to the board for the adoption at the board meeting tomorrow. Thank you very much. My friends wonder why.